3, 2, 1, go!
Welcome back, everybody, to the Tribe of the Floors podcast, a podcast from Puerto Rican friends coming together to do deep dives into Star Wars and other nerd-related media. We've been gone for a little bit. Sorry, it was completely my fault. I was in finals for law school, but I did well, so it's all worth it.
As everyone expected, though, because you're a nerd, so you know you crushed everything. Crushed everything, and you got the best grades out of the whole class, apparently.
Probably not the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. So, at least you're humble about it.
Yeah. Anyway, we're very excited, as you've heard before, about the Indiana Jones Dial of Destiny premiere, June 30th. Coming up mm-hmm, soon. Mm-hmm. So we've been talking about Indiana Jones with our awesome friend Alex Damon from Star Wars Explained. We talked about the non-controversial ones.
Oh my God, Inani, come on. Raiders of the Last Ark and The Last Crusade. Jesus Christ.
I've been out of the podcast game for a little bit.
They're going to take off some lists if you keep messing that up. Sorry. Jesus.
And obviously, those are the easy ones because they're the ones that everybody loves. Everything's good. But today we're doing the controversial ones, Temple of Doom and Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Oh, yeah.
It should be a very fun conversation. We will also do our responsible speculation about Dial of Destiny because it's coming up soon. We know some trailers have been out. There's already been some critiques. So we kind of want to see what everybody's thinking going into the film coming up soon. And obviously, welcome back, Alex. Thank you so much for joining the triad.
Welcome back, man.
Jones. Good. Thanks for having me. I am not Puerto Rican, but I feel like I'm an honorary one today because I stole Goose's hat at Star Wars Celebration. I've had it for like 2 months now.
Yes, it's being held hostage. But, you know, as far as like people that can have that hat as a hostage, I'm glad that it's you at least.
I don't really think it's a hostage situation. You abandoned the hat.
I did not. Okay, let's be clear.
And the hat was
rescued. Let me be clear. I did not abandon it. I temporarily misplaced it due to, you know, substances that might have been in my body that disabled me to be aware of its attachment to my body.
We were singing Motion City soundtrack late into the night, and then you left the hat, and I kept it safe, and I'll send it back to you eventually.
You know, that's one of those things where Star Wars Celebration, you know, the panels are cool, but it's not about the panels at this point anymore. It's always about the hangouts at the bar and then wherever the after party takes us. So, Tokyo 2025, I will strive.
Get your hat back.
I was going to say strive not to lose it, but now apparently I'm not getting it back. So, yeah. meanwhile, I have to rock my new High Republic hat, which is not, you know, it's not Puerto Rico, but, you know, it's still... Okay, so we have a replacement for the time being. I don't know what it says. I haven't bothered to...
Jedi Order.
I am blown away that you actually know the Aurabesh. Okay, well, there we go. Now I can answer that question when people ask me. Because like people have asked me, like my friends particularly, like they're like, oh, what does your hat say? And then I'm just like, I don't
fucking... I should have told you something wrong.
That would have been so much
better. Because they're like, I thought you were like, I thought you had a Star Wars podcast. Shouldn't you know what the Aurabesh means? And I'm like, no, man, I'm not there yet, at least. Anyway, I'm rambling. Alex, how's it going? Talk to us.
Good. Yeah. Molly and I just got back from vacation. We're taking a little bit of not a hiatus from Star Wars. We just had like a week off where we weren't online. We weren't doing anything. Like we got the new Inquisitor book a little bit early, and I was I'm not gonna read it. I did not start it yet because I was like, I just need to be on vacation. So I'm gonna start it this week.
Nice. Rise of the Red Blade by Delilah Dawson. I just did the pre-order for it, so I'm excited for that one. That looks fun. I have no idea. Do we know if it's set between 3 and 4, or if it's like a post 6? Like, what's the? I don't know.
Yeah, it's got to be 3 and 4 because the main character dies in the Darth Vader comics.
There we go. That shows how much I've read about the book. No, I was wondering because since we just got like those images from Ahsoka that revealed like that Inquisitor, I was wondering, oh, is this gonna tie in somehow?
It might.
There must be some, you know, some sparkle dust sprinkled in there to kind of tie into everything. I swear we'll get to Indiana Jones, guys, but we have to talk about Star Wars a little bit. Let's just get to Star Wars, I guess. To Indiana Jones. Alex, you're big into Indiana Jones as much as Star Wars. So you've had like your Indiana Jones Explained video series, which are all as fun as your Star Wars videos. We talked about Raiders of the Lost Ark. We talked about The Last Crusade. As we said, those are the easy ones. We're on our journey towards Dial of Destiny, which I'm so, so excited for. I feel like I'm more excited for Dial of Destiny than I was for Rise of Skywalker. I don't know. Since Indy has been out of movie theaters for so long, like it's, you know, it's really, really exciting to go back into Indy and Dial of Destiny. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your expectations for Dial of Destiny, like, you know, what you want out of it, what you've thought of the trailer so far, if you have read any of the reviews, what you think about it. You know, delve into Dial of Destiny a little bit before we can actually talk about it, since it's not out yet.
Yeah, I've only read one review. I'll get to that in a second, but I'm obviously excited for Indy 5. I feel like I haven't given myself time to process that it's happening. Just Star Wars took up so much time up through the end of May, really. But now we're kind of in a quiet period while we wait for Ahsoka. So I'm like, okay, I can focus on Indy. We've got some Indy content planned again. But as far as the reception so far, I saw a pretty lackluster reaction coming out of Cannes Film Festival, which, I don't know, it didn't really surprise me. I'm not putting too much stock into it. I waited until Jermaine from IO9 put out his review, and I read that. And that made me feel really good. He's basically like, it's a really fun Indiana Jones movie. The worst part about it is that we're not watching it when we're 10. Like, we're not going to have that just nostalgic look back like we can with the originals. Right. And it sounds like he liked it a lot more than Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. He was like, it's a really fun movie. It has all the hallmarks of a good indie adventure. And that's all it needs to be.
I agree. And Nani, what about you? I know you have an aversion to watching trailers because you have a job now as a podcaster. So you have to watch Lucasfilm related trailers at least. So what did you see that Lucasfilm? I'm working for you. What did you think about Dial of Destiny? And have you read any of the reviews? Are you worried about the movie at all?
Yeah, so I haven't actually read the reviews, but I have watched the trailers, like the one that came out in the Super Bowl and the one that we got from Star Wars Celebration and all that kind of good stuff. And I was just really excited. I really never thought we were going to get a fifth version here. So I'm always excited for more indie. Harrison Ford being involved every single time. It's just like such an iconic character that we grew up with, that we love. And I'm just excited that we're kind of going back to kicking Nazi ass. So, you know, that's always great.
In an age where apparently it's controversial to say Nazis bad. It's such a weird thing. It was okay in the 80s, Indiana Jones kicking Nazi butt, but now apparently it's woke.
It's political, yeah.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones political.
It's so weird because, right, we have like Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who's amazing in it. And now it's just like, oh, see, Indiana Jones is woke. It's got like a empowered woman in it. It's like, did you not see Raiders of the Lost Ark? Like, we had Marion Ravenwood. Exactly. So it's just like, it's one of those things that blow my mind. Woke means nothing in this day and age. It's just a trigger word to get a certain base riled up, because if you made the exact same Raiders of the Lost Ark now in 2023, people would hate that movie and call it woke and be outraged about it. So, like, I have no idea why this mob is already up in arms with Dial of Destiny, because it's not doing anything that hasn't been done before. And I think that's the beauty of Indiana Jones. It's just like, you know what you're getting. Yeah.
So I'm excited for the adventure. I mean, the only one that I was able to see in the theaters was, you know, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, because we were too young for the original one. So I'm always excited to see something that I loved growing up in the theaters. I remember I saw Kingdom of Crystal Skull, we'll get to it, with my mom in the theaters, because she's a huge Indiana fan too. So she had seen the originals in the theater. So she's always like, ha, 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 I'm above you, because I've seen these before in the theaters, you know. So I'm just excited about it. Everybody's going to have something negative to say about it. They could write the most excellent masterpiece and somebody will say something negative about it, because that's just how they are. And especially when it's something as beloved or hated, because obviously there's both camps when it comes to Indiana Jones, and I don't care. I'm just looking for a fun adventure, and it sounds like a great, you know, summertime film to go watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm toning down my expectations as well. I'm just like waiting to just sit there and see how I feel about it without having to, you know, take so much into consideration what everybody's criticizing about it, and just have my own experience with it.
Right. Which, speaking of which, like, this summer's gonna be like incredible for movies. It's just like Indiana Jones, The Flash, Barbie and Oppenheimer. Like, there's so much stuff. I'm like so ready for summer 2023, because like it's just gonna be an experience. I'm ready for that double feature of Barbie and Oppenheimer. Like, it's gonna be like, I just haven't decided what order I'm doing. Oppenheimer first, or Barbie, or Barbie and Oppenheimer. I don't know, but that's the biggest conundrum of the summer for me.
If you haven't seen Across the Spider-Verse yet,
I saw it.
Blew me away. I loved it.
I liked the first one, but the second one was just like, holy crap. It was like,
I haven't had a chance to see it yet.
It's so good.
It's almost too good. It's like, it's like infuriatingly good at how good that movie was.
Which is really surprising, because I really loved the first one. And hearing everybody say that the second one's even better kind of blows me away. So I can't wait to actually comment on it.
Well, because I liked the first one. Because for me, like, Spider-Man 2, like, that one's still like my tippy top of the list, and I'm like, this is impossible. No movie, especially not, because, you know, there, I still have like that back of my mind bias against animated movies, which I'm getting over now, because it's just like, you know, it's one of those things that you grew up with and you have to deprogram yourself to accept. And so I'm slowly getting over that hurdle. But once I saw Across the Spider-Verse, I'm like, okay, I guess Spider-Man 2 is number 2, because I think Across the Spider-Verse is number 1. I just really, really hope that Beyond the Spider-Verse is going to stick the landing. Because we know that third installments sometimes don't do it. I'm sure it'll be fine. But anyway, that's that. I mean, I agree with like everybody with Dial of Destiny. I'm too excited for, I mean, maybe not too excited. I haven't bought an Indiana Jones hat yet. So I guess I'm a healthy level with it, although I do have my fertility idol. But Dial of Destiny, it's one of those movies, like when I was reading the reviews, I feel like it's a no-win scenario. It's like, it's not gonna ever make anybody happy. And it's one of those interesting things now as well, because as we'll talk about with Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, when Kingdom of the Crystal Skull came out, everyone's like, this is the worst thing ever. George Lucas and Steven Spielberg are destroying our childhood. Blah, 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 blah. Everyone was so negative and toxic about that movie. Now, fast forward, we got rid of George Lucas, who apparently was the bad one destroying our childhoods. Steven Spielberg stepped down. We have like a new creative team. We have James Mangold. And you'd think that now people would be like, okay, yeah, now we can have a good Indiana Jones movie, because the creator isn't destroying it anymore. But they're still going to be rallying against it, because it's not the original three. So it's kind of like Last Jedi or Rise of Skywalker. It was a no-win scenario. So that's why it's like reviews, and especially reviews from Khan. I did not expect, you know, people to be kind there, because it's, you know, it's film snobbery there. Like, they look down on the popular films. So, you know, I'm excited. It's going to be good. Reviews be damned.
And it's weird. I feel like that there's not as much pressure on indie as there is for Star Wars in my mind, where there's not as much, you know, like lore and things that it needs to live up to for me. It's just like, I just want to go see a fun globetrotting adventure. I love the format of these movies. And like, I go and I see Uncharted or Tomb Raider or anything that's kind of like it. And I still have a good time. So even if they made 80 indie movies and most of them were crap, I would still be excited for like one last adventure.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And that's the thing, like with indie, it's just like Star Wars. It's like, I'll take a bad Star Wars movie, and I use that, you know, just as an exaggeration, because I don't think we've ever gotten a bad Star Wars movie. We've gotten like movies that we don't like, whichever that one may be for anybody. And it's the same with indie. Like, I think it's like, I'd rather get like a bad one than no movie at all, because they're still fun and you can still talk about them, as we will with Temple of Doom and Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. We finally got there. Those are two movies that I think are kind of the controversial ones. Some people love Temple of Doom, some people are not as big of a fan of it. Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, especially when it came out, was very controversial. And I think now there is a re-examination on that movie, the same way that the prequels are being re-examinated now, where I feel like it's coming around and people's psyche and being reevaluated and being like accepted in the same way that the prequels are now, in a way that they weren't when they were released at the time. And we'll see. And I think that those are the two movies that at least people kind of agree are not as good as the other two. So it'll be definitely fun to like watch this video after Dial of Destiny comes out to see where Dial of Destiny is gonna fall, like in the in the rankings. Even though rankings are ridiculous, but they're still fun. So they're controversial. Let's talk about them, Alex. I'll start with you. Like specifically the Temple of Doom. Obviously, we weren't born or emotionally available to digest those movies when they came out. So we were, you know, that era that we're watching them like on TV, like I don't know if it was USA or TNT, one of those rerun channels that always like had the movies on all the time. So that's how like I was watching those movies. Always, they were always on TV. So I was always watching them when they were on. What was your experience with Temple of Doom? Did you watch, what order did you watch it, right? Did you watch it before Raiders, after Raiders? Like, you know, how did you consume that movie? What does it mean to you?
I was not allowed to watch Temple of Doom for a while growing up because my parents thought it was, too intense. So the heart ripping out. They were fine with letting me watch faces melt and heads explode, but the heart...
That's too much.
For some reason.
Which, that is an intense scene. But yeah, I did not see Temple of Doom at the same time that I saw Raiders or Crusade. I saw it a little after, and like I kept hearing one of my friends down the street like loved Temple of Doom, and I was like, well, I'll see it someday, I guess.
I'll have to wait.
But, yeah, even still though, like I don't like Temple of Doom as much as the other two. Kind of talking about the hallmarks of an indie movie, I feel like it doesn't check every box that I want it to. Mm-hmm. It has some great set pieces. I think the minecart chase is awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really love that. But the fact that it takes place like all in one country, kind of like I was talking, I want a globe trotting adventure. I love seeing that red line go across the map. And we really just go from, is it Shanghai to India? So, that's it. And then it's
from
just
club,
we're
from
there.
Club Obi-Wan to India. Yeah.
By the way, did you notice in The Bad Batch, in that one episode, Pabu, it starts in a club and it's called Club Laoshe. I did not know.
Well, I probably know that or knew that or was aware of that because of your videos and not because I caught it, because I am not good at catching up things, especially with the Arabesh, as we just proved.
Sometimes I'm like reading Arabesh in scenes and like I'll catch something and I will run from my office to Molly's office and I'll be like, I just found something. Like I'm so excited. And she's like, great.
That blows my mind that you can just read Arabesh at this point. It's a skill I hope to pick up. It's exhausting to just have to look up the letters individually. So kudos to be able to just read it.
But I say that to just be like that there are still elements of Temple of Doom that I do really enjoy, and I still get excited when I see little connections back to it.
And just like Andor had the Sankara X, what they're called. And did they have? I don't remember. I know they had the whip and the eggs, but did they have the Cup of Christ?
Maybe they definitely had the idol in Carbonite.
I think I had the theory that the Dial of Destiny was in there too, or did I hear that from someone else?
I think someone else said that, I may have thrown that out there. I can't remember. Andor was such a blur. It was weird to stop talking about how amazing the show was and be like, and also Easter eggs.
right.
Let's be honest here. Andor, best time. I had such a blast covering Andor. Like, that was so much fun, especially because we had like all those round tables together and like, we were able to like go to the premiere. So obviously we were biased towards Andor in that sense, but it was a lot of fun to be a Star Wars fan and to like share in that show. Nani, what about you? What's your experience with Temple of Doom?
Yeah, I don't actually remember in what order I saw them. They're kind of ever present because, like I said, like my mom was a really big fan of them too. So every time they'd be on, you know, we'd watch them. I'm pretty sure we owned them on VHS at my house. So I just kind of remember they all kind of meshed together for a while. I couldn't really tell when I was younger which one was which.
It's just Harrison Ford. That's it.
It's just Indiana Jones. It's fine. but I think Temple of Doom was one of those ones that I actually really liked when I was a kid because it kind of scared me. You know, the whole sequence with like all the bugs everywhere really freaked me out. And obviously the minecart scene was always really cool. And I've always kind of like associated with like Donkey Kong and stuff. So I never put that together. I didn't really notice a lot of the egregious, like horrible things that the movie did. So it didn't age well, in my opinion. But the heartbeat thing singing was actually one of the ones that my parents would fast forward. So I didn't know that scene existed for the longest time. And then the first one I saw, it was like, oh, wow, that is hardcore.
Kalima. It's like, come on.
Very intense. But yeah, but I do remember thinking that that one was weird because a lot of it did take place in the same place. And you're used to like them jumping around and seeing a lot more of, you know, the map red line scenes. And this one, you didn't get them. So I remember thinking that this one was a little bit apart. Mm-hmm. And after having a character like Marianne being like the main female role and then having like Willie Scott this time, I thought she was like one of the most annoying women.
Yes,
all time. And it was always really disappointing, like comparing her to Marianne. So I was a choice that I never really understood. She was like too much of a damsel in distress, like always screaming the entire movie. And that was just such a step back for somebody like Marianne. So I remember that that was something that even growing up, I was like, ugh. But you know, it's not the actress's fault.
It's not her fault.
How she was written.
I think they wanted to just do something completely different from Raiders and therefore Marianne, and they really swung the pendulum in the opposite direction.
Far the other way, too far.
I know, I agree. Like I always, I don't want to use the word hate. Hate's too strong, but I always felt disconnected. Let's say it that way. With Willie, because precisely because of that, it's just like she's just annoying all the time because she's it's not that she's a damsel in distress, which we can talk about that trope like at some other time, but it's just because it's so much and it's just like come on girl, you're not a screen queen here. This is an Indiana Jones movie. Let's get our act together. But the interesting thing though, to compare that when you guys were talking about being globetrotting, is that it's interesting how people would have thought about that movie when it came out, because at that time you only had the first one. So, like, with only one movie, can you really have been able to be like, oh, this is the thing you're supposed to do if there's not, like, a trend? So it'd be interesting to see, like, what people at the time thought of that movie, considering that it did do a lot of things differently. And people were just like, oh, it can be different because there's no, you know, it's not like Star Wars. Like, we've gotten all these movies, so we know what the Star Wars formula is. And obviously, Temple of Doom breaks that formula quite a bit. But that's just me like thinking based on what everyone was saying. But yeah, Temple of Doom, not a fan, man. That was not my cup of tea. I remember like that whole, for me, like the scene that I never really enjoyed was the buffet scene when everyone's just eating and like they're eating the monkey's brain and all that stuff. I'm just like, that's I don't know, that's not cool. And even obviously I was seeing it as a child and seeing the whole child slavery stuff, I'm just like, even though in my mind I don't know yet like why these things are not cool, but even then I was like, that doesn't feel right. That's all icky. I don't know.
That's the buffet is the thing that I always jump to first, where I'm like, this did not age well. It like you didn't understand it growing up. But what I kind of forget about every time, and then I'm rewatching it, is that the British Empire comes in and helps save the day. At the end, and I'm like, oh no,
the heroes,
no.
It's like,
forget that part too.
Like, I would really love to, and I mean, George Lucas and Steven Spielberg have talked about this movie ad nauseum, but I would really love to talk to them and be like, hey, what's up? Like, I know you guys were going through that divorce, but like,
remember how the Empire's the bad guy in your other franchise, George? Right. Like,
well, you know, there's a place in the historical context. It's like, but it's still fantasy, George. Temple of Doom. I mean, like everyone said, I think there's like all redeeming. Well, I'm not going to say redeeming because the racism kind of, you can't redeem racism. But there's a lot of like good things individually in that movie that works. But at least to me, like, I don't think that movie has rewatch value personally, because like I don't feel comfortable just watching it all the way through, not just because of the child slavery and racism. And, you know, and Short Round's kind of cool, but it's also leaning a little too hard into, like, he's the quirky Asian sidekick. And so it's kind of like, I don't know if we're leaning into that too hard. Although, power to Key for winning that Oscar.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It came back. It came back full circle. We're happy. We're happy. We hope he comes back to the Indiana Jones universe somehow. But, yeah, no, Temple of Doom. It's interesting to see, like, how now Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, for me, like, has a lot of more rewatch value. And it's a, despite its flaws, because Kingdom of the Crystal Skull obviously has flaws, but we can find flaws in, like, any movie that we absolutely love. But Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, I think, is a really, really fun movie that I really enjoy. It's the only Indiana Jones movie so far that I've seen on the big screen, because obviously we're going to see Dial of Destiny on the big screen, too. But I saw it with my dad, because my dad and I always went to the movies on Sunday, and like Indiana Jones was a big deal at my house too, even though we never owned the VHSs, which now in hindsight, I find that very odd. We had all the Star Wars movies in every single format that ever came out, but we never had Indiana Jones on VHS. I did buy the box set when Kingdom of the Crystal Skull came out, so I had those, but I never had the VHS, so that was a mistake on my upbringing, I guess. But yeah, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull in movie theaters was just amazing, because I'm just like seeing Indiana Jones for the first time on, you know, a giant silver screen. Alex, tell us your experience with Crystal Skull. Did you see it on the big screen? Did it live up to your hype? What were your expectations going into it? Since, you know, it was like an older indie, you know, it's kind of like in the prequel era of Star Wars. So were you concerned with it, with like same prequel concerns that we might have had at the time? Like, what was your mind frame when Kingdom came out?
Yeah, I mean, like, I was young when the prequels started, so I never had a problem with the prequels. I was 21 when, right? When did that movie come out? I think it was
2008.
Like
2008.
Then I would have been 21 when Indy 4 came out. So, like, I think I probably had a little bit more of, like, oh, I hope it, like, I went through that phase of, like, mm-hmm. The prequels weren't as good as the originals, right. And even though I liked all three of them when I saw them. But I still was really enthusiastic for Indy 4. I remember watching the trailer a lot and being excited. Watching it, I saw it on the big screen, and I've also seen Raiders on the big screen, fortunately, just a re-release, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember liking it at the start, and I walked out of it pretty satisfied. I didn't think it was terrible. I thought it was pretty fun for the most part. But again, some of those like hallmarks that I wanted to check off, I was like, there wasn't really a super creepy bug or rat or snake scene. There was like the big damn ants, but I was like, that didn't really...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. You're absolutely right about that one. That was a total ripoff. That's right. Oh, my God. Did not put that together.
Like, it didn't seem creepy enough for me. Mm-hmm. At the end, Spalko, like, has her mind and eyes burned out, but it didn't feel as, like, bombastic and big as the end of Raiders or Crusade.
Mm-hmm.
So it just felt like it didn't quite reach those same heights. So yeah, I put it above Temple of Doom personally, but it's also one that I'm like, the latest time I rewatched it, at the start I was like, yeah, this is pretty fun, and by the end I'm like, I'm kind of over this. It feels like watching the Hobbit movies, actually. Like,
oh,
the first dang. Hobbit movie,
yeah.
I love when they're in the Shire. And yeah. I'm like, man, this is actually great. It's better than I remember. And then once they leave the Shire, it just kind of like steadily declines for 2.5 movies.
I can see that. I can see that. Yeah. Holy crap. And Natalie, how about you? What was your Crystal Skull experience?
It's actually really similar to Alex. I remember being really excited to see it in theaters and thinking that it was really fun at the beginning. And then it's just also Spielberg's need to like add in aliens to everything that he does.
That was George Lucas. That wasn't Spielberg.
Oh, well.
Spielberg didn't want the aliens.
Interdimensional beings or whatever. But I remember sitting there and thinking like, oh, why again? No, why are they doing this to Indiana Jones? This is completely unnecessary. But I remember as people, because I think my mom hated it. Like, as soon as this was so bad.
Adults are definitely, parents are definitely a good barometer to know if a movie is good. In the sense, like, if they didn't like it, it's probably a good movie.
Well, which is weird because my mom has never really understood my obsession with Star Wars. And so, and the only one I actually saw with her in the theaters was Revenge of the Sith, because it came out when I graduated college and I went with her. And she was just like, I don't understand why you like these, but I'll watch it because it's what you want to do. But Indiana Jones is something that she was a fan of. So yeah. When we left them, she's like, that was so stupid. And I was like, wait, but have you watched the other ones? They have their ridiculous moments too. Like, I don't think it departs all that much. The problem was that second half, it didn't hit as much as she thought it was going to do. So I remember her criticizing a lot of the stuff at the beginning. And I think the beginning has a lot of rewatch value. Even if it's like a little kitschy and stuff, it's still really fun. And it feels very Indiana Jones. But it's just, after, and I was really excited to see Marion return, so that was always great for me, but there was something in the second half of the film that it just kind of didn't live up to what it was trying to be. So, but I still think it has rewatch value, and I have fun, especially at the beginning. Like, if I see it on TV and it's, like, at the beginning, I'll watch those first sequences, and then, like, kind of once it gets to a certain point.
It's I agree with what everyone has said, and like I loved it, like in the movie theater. I just know that it's the same thing with the prequels. Like, you love them when you watch them, and then it's after the fact that then you start second guessing it and reading what people have to say online, and then being like, oh crap, am I jaded, or like, is this my opinion, or am I just parroting other people's opinion? But I think one of the big things that I had a problem with the movie, I mean, it's two things. I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, Shia LaBeouf and VFX. But not VFX for the reason that people keep saying, because people are just like, oh, it's the CGI monkeys or whatever, or like the action's over the top. But I counter that by saying, like, it's not as over the top as the original films would have been. They were just limited by the technology of the time, because I can guarantee you that, like, if George Lucas and Steven Spielberg had that technology from now, back then, they would have gone just as wild and crazy as Crystal Skull was. They just couldn't, because they didn't have the technology. Dude,
jumping off the plane with the raft, landing in the water on the raft, not actually flipping over, going down, how many waterfalls do they do that? And then they kind of do the same thing again in Crystal Skull. It's just exaggerated because there's more CGI. But it's like, watch Temple of Doom. They go.
So exactly. So the action, I don't think the action's like any more crazy than it would have been in the original three if permitting the technology be available back then. I just think that it was over-reliant in using the VFX that makes it look kind of like off-putting, because if they had like mixed it a little bit more with grounded practical effects and then enhanced it with the CGI, I think it would have been so much better. So the action's over the top, but it's always been over the top, and it would have been if they were able to do it. You were gonna say
I think there's something just grounding, like you said. It's more thrilling to watch Indiana Jones like crawl under an actual moving truck than it is to see people like jumping around in the jungle with like those tree choppers. And it's like, the sequence is so much more simple in that truck chase, but it's just better because you're like, they actually did that. Yeah.
You know, it's a person that could get messed up real quick if something goes wrong. Hey, no, I totally agree. But then again, like, I think it's still kind of works for what it is. I think it's still over the top, but it's still a lot of fun. But to go back with what everyone was saying, like, even though I don't like the aliens, I mean the interdimensional beings, especially showing up, I think if we hadn't seen them, it would have worked better. I think it would have been cooler, like that final scene. Yeah, the crystal skull is activated and whatever, Spalko's head explodes or whatever. We get all that same stuff, but without seeing aliens, interdimensional beings, and without seeing the spaceship take off or something, I think it would have worked a lot more, and I would have been able to swallow it, because like as it was, it's just like, oh, it's taking me out of the whole thing, because Indy has always had supernatural, but hasn't had the sci-fi kind of feels out of place in it, even though it kind of makes sense for the context of the movie, because Indy has always been right about the type of pulp stories that were famous at the time, like with the Nazis and the religious artifacts. It's kind of the, of that time, but now since we're in the Cold War, there's, you know, the Red Scare, which is why we get the Soviets, which makes a lot of sense. And then we have all the Roswell things going on, so a lot of alien sightings. So contextually, aliens kind of make sense for Indy, because that's what Indy does. It kind of takes the thing of the time that it's set on and just hamming it up. But I think here it just went way too hard, because that scene when they're like in the warehouse and they find the alien body, and it's like the whole Roswell thing when they're the FBI's interrogating Indy. That's all really cool. Like, I'm just like, okay, I would see that movie of Indy, you know, being put in that van to inspect the artifacts from the Roswell crash. I think that whole stuff, like all the background stuff that they talk about in that movie, is so, so interesting. But I think the movie does a lot of that world building. That's, I think it's better than the actual result of it, because sometimes the way it pulled the trigger on it is kind of not as thrilling as like the journey towards it. Because I love going to Origana and like finding the, you know, and finding his tomb, and then you open the mummy and the mummy's perfectly preserved and it decays, like, and then finding the skull there, like all that sequence of them, you know, trying to find the crystal skull. I think it's really, really fun. It's like very traditionally indie. It's just, yeah, when we go into the forest sequence, I think that's when things start falling apart. Because even in the temple, when they're at the end, that whole sequence is pretty cool. And they have to like go under the thing and with the balancing act, and then getting the sand down with the pillars. It's Legends of the Hidden Temple, but you know, but Indiana Jones. Even though Legends of the Hidden Temple was inspired by Indiana Jones, so it's like this whole thing of everything coming around. Alex, favorite thing about Crystal Skull?
So to go back to a stunt that I actually think works really well, I remember in the theater being like, "This is awesome." When they're doing the motorcycle chase through the college.
Yes, mm-hmm. And I love that.
Indy gets pulled into the car, and then Mutt goes around to the other side of the car, and Indy fights his way through and gets back on the motorcycle. Right, I was like, that's awesome. Like, that's the kind of stuff I want to see in an Indy movie. So that's the first thing that jumped into my head when I was like, favorite thing? Probably that stunt.
Nani, what about you?
It was really cool. I really like the whole Roswell thing at the beginning. I mean, just that first shot that we see, we only see like his feet and the shadow and then the hat falling off, and I love pretty much anything that they always do with the hat. Like, it's so cliche, but I've always really enjoyed it. So it felt very, very interesting. And then the whole sequence inside the chase following, like, you know, the magnetism and at the end of the crash,
I wasn't a fan of the magnetism. Okay, this is a nitpick. I'm going to 100% admit that I'm being a little bitch about it. But it's inconsistent. It's inconsistent. Come on, man.
Of course it is.
Like, the way the magnetism is working, it's just like, hey, one time the sword's being pulled, but other times it's not. It's like, come on, my dude. It's like, that's not how magnetism works. I don't know how magnets work, but it's not
an
like
alien
that.
Magnet, though.
That's true. That's true.
We don't know.
Fine.
Yeah, but the running around inside was really cool, and then you get that little glimpse of the arc at the end, like inside the box when it crashes. And I thought, oh, I love the. Give me some nostalgia. I love it. As long as everything else about the movie is up, it's the problem is that it never sticks to my thing. But I do love the entire motorcycle sequence as well. Like, especially when they run into the library and they try to avoid the statue of
Marcus.
And, like, it had really good elements, especially at the beginning. That's why it's even more upsetting that it doesn't stick to that thing.
I don't want to step on the Roswell stuff too much, but to go to it, now I'm going to nitpick a little bit. Because, like, to say that it kept doing things that were almost what I feel is classic Indiana Jones. An Indiana Jones movie is supposed to start with the end of another adventure. And this one starts the beginning of the adventure. And I don't know, like, that's such a nitpick, but I remember being like,
why?
I like the sequence. It's a fun sequence, but I was just like, this should have been something else.
Although it's a good point, but now that you say that, I feel like Dial of Destiny is going to do a similar thing to Crystal Skull.
I think
the de-aging sequence is going to be the opening of the movie. Yep. And it's technically like the end of an adventure, but it's still like the
prequel. It's going to be connected to.
Yeah, it's not going to be separate. Which, so.
I mean, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark, you start off and it's the end of the hunt for the fertility idol, but Belloc is still there. It's still involved. The stuff with Lao She directly leads into Temple of Doom.
Mm-hmm.
The Cross of Coronado help set up the relationship with the father. So it is always...
That belongs, you know, to the museum!
Yeah.
So do you! I love that sequence so much.
I do too. And the fact that it's been like 3 years since Raiders of the Lost Ark, it hasn't been that long. And all of a sudden,
well, and do this. And what's his... I forgot the name of that guy, but like, he's way older than Indiana Jones, yeah. And he's telling him that he belongs in a museum.
I think he's just called like Panama Hat or something.
he doesn't
have a name, yeah.
Oh, I love Last Crusade. I know we're talking about Crystal Skull and Temple of Doom, but I love Last Crusade so much. I was rewatching it the other day, and that whole opening sequence, especially like when Indy loses and the Indiana Jones elder is just like, hey, kid, you lost today, but that doesn't mean you have to like it. And then the music swells up and it becomes an Indy theme, and it's just him on the boat. And he's like, damn, man, it's just pulls on the hearts. It's so good. I love Last Crusade. I know that technically Raiders is the best one, but Last Crusade just like does, I don't know, it's the one that I love, because I remember it's the father thing, and it's just like you could tell that they knew that it was going to be the last one, at least at the time, so they really like went for it in terms of just like, let's make this like as thrilling of an adventure and as quotable as possible. So
it has the best emotional arc,
yes,
like the most clear, this is Indy and Henry's journey.
Sean Connery, I know he's a questionable, he would have been canceled if he was still around, but you know, he did a good performance as Henry Jones Sr. Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. And their age difference wasn't even that much, right? It was maybe like 5 or 8 years, something like that. I don't think it was like an age where he could actually be his father type of thing, but whatever. At least we got to see like Sean Connery's picture in Crystal Skull. I wonder if Dial of Destiny is also going to have some nods to like Last Crusade, and we're going to see some Marcus reference or Henry Jones Sr. reference to kind of tie it back as well, since we're going to see Sala. Any theories on that, Alex, about what Easter egg we can expect to connect to the originals?
Yeah, I think we're going to have to at least have a reference to Marion and Mutt and the other characters. Like, I think it would be weird to just be like, forget about Indy's son.
Yeah.
To that point, okay, Responsible, let's go into that. Let's go. I know we're talking Crystal Skull, but I'm so excited for Dial of Destiny. Let's go into Responsible speculation now for Dial of Destiny. What's your theory, both of you? I'll start with Alex since you're the guest. What's your theory about what happened to Mutt and Marion and why they're not in this movie? Allegedly not in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that Mutt is probably just grown up doing his own thing. Maybe Marion's on vacation. I hope they're still together. I mean, like, I would be bummed if they, you know, they started their relationship at a questionable age. I just try to push that off and not think about it when I'm watching Raiders. But like, they were together and then they fell apart, and then they were together and they fell apart, and then they got married. And I would be bummed if they fell apart after that.
Right. Yeah.
So I hope she's just doing something that weekend,
right. And Indy
gets yeah.
I hope
she's on a girl's trip.
Oh, that'll be lovely. I would watch that spinoff, the Marion Ravenwood Girls Week.
Yeah,
I'd watch that. And honey, what do you think about where Mutt and Raven and Marion are?
Yeah, I mean, we get to see Mutt in this point of his life in Crystal Skull where he's kind of like lost. He doesn't really know what to do with his life. And I feel like through that adventure and getting to meet his dad and everything, probably becomes a little bit more centered. So Indy probably sent him to college and he might be, you know, doing like his doctoral dissertation or something somewhere, which is fine. I mean, he doesn't have to do father-son adventures every single time. I mean, we see Indy and his dad in only one film as well, so we don't need to get the kid everywhere. And yeah, I would be really, really upset if Marion and didn't make it, because I was really excited to see them actually getting married.
Yeah,
their relationship coming full circle, and I've always loved her. She's one of my favorite characters in film in general. I really loved Marion always, so I would be upset. So hopefully, a mention that she is on her, you know, girls' weekend or girls something. Weekend. Just like a nod, yeah. Like, oh, she's, you know, she can't join me today because X. But at least a mention.
Damn, I feel bummed out about my theory now because, like, you guys have been so optimistic. I think they're both dead. I think that she died at some point of undisclosed disease, and Mutt died at the war. And that's why Indy left the University of Chicago and is in New York, and he's sad and depressed. And that's why he doesn't go on adventures anymore. And that's why Phoebe Waller-Bridge has to kind of, like, come in and be like, your last adventure. Come on, let's go. Let's feel alive again.
That sounds really depressing, but it would make sense.
But he is depressed, like in the beginning, like in that trailer. He's just like, he's grumpy.
That's just Harrison Ford.
Exactly. So it's not doing too hot. You know, that scene when he's in the train, in the subway in New York, is just like looking at that little girl. And he's all grumpy. I'm like, oh, he's not. That doesn't look like a man that's satisfied with his wife and kids and having a good life. So, I mean, I do hope that Marion's still around and like she is in her girls' weekend, and then she comes back at the end of the movie. She's like, "Indy, I'm home." And she's like, "Oh, honey, let me tell you about this adventure I had." And cut the credits. And I think that would be great.
That'd be much better.
But I think
be right. That would hurt. That would really break my heart, though.
I'm sorry.
Pessimist. Weirdly, I think I would like that more than they just got like divorced, though.
Oh no, 100%. I don't want them. Yeah, it's like stop. Yeah, because it's like stop with the get back together, like break up thing, on and off again thing. Yeah, yeah. Kill her at least. Have some dignity. and I mean that in the most loving way possible. Sorry, guys. She doesn't exist as a fake character. Get over it. So let's do something. Let's keep it positive. Let's say one thing that we like about each of those. Well, Temple of Doom and Crystal Skull, and then one thing that we're really looking forward to in Dial of Destiny. Alex, two things you like about Temple of Doom. About one thing you like about Temple of Doom and Crystal Skull. There we go.
I mentioned the minecart sequence earlier. I think that is just like classic indie. I love seeing how they filmed it too, where like all the caves are just aluminum foil with red lighting, and they just kind of ran a camera through and did one frame a second. Like learning how they did that was cool. I'm like Nani, I love minecart stuff in video games. Just got through a great sequence with minecarts in Tears of the Kingdom. And I'm just thinking about Indiana Jones the whole time. Like, I think that's why I like minecarts. For Crystal Skull, something besides the chase through the college. That's the first thing that jumps out at me. And now I'm struggling to think of something else off the top of my head.
Damn, for a movie you said that you like more than Temple of Doom, there should be at least one more thing.
I don't know. Like, I haven't watched it in a while, actually. Yeah. And the last time I did, I just remember getting about halfway through it and being like, okay. I really like during the big damn ant scene, when Marion has the idea to drive off the cliff, and she's like, I have an idea, and Mutt and Indy realize what she's going to do, and they're like, bad idea, but she just
so
does
excited
it.
About it. Yeah. She's like, ah.
She does it, and it works.
And then the three whiplashes and just hits all everyone that's still holding on.
I think that's a big laugh that I let out every time. That's good delivery of bad idea. and I like seeing Marion take charge again.
Nani, what about you? One good thing about each of those two movies.
So in Temple of Doom, I mentioned all the bugs and stuff. I do like that sequence when they're trying to get through that underground, whatever it was, and then Indy and Short Round get stuck, and they have to depend on Willy to like get them out. And she's like freaking me out because she's just so slow. But there's a lot of tension in that scene, and then obviously it ends with him like almost losing his hand to get his hat back, which I always love. So there's still a couple of sequences today that I find enjoyable. You kind of take it separated from the rest of the story.
Keep them separated, like, yeah.
Yeah, just think about the action sequences that are in there sometimes, and they're still pretty cool. And I actually really liked in Crystal Skull when I first saw it, that whole conversation when Marion's telling Indy about the fact that Mud is his son and why she like kept it from him, and like seeing his reaction to everything and how his attitude towards him changes after he finds out he's his son.
Right. You're going to school.
Yeah. So, I mean, that little kind of relationship thing, I liked it, but then it didn't play it off, you know, throughout the rest of the film. But in that moment when it's happening, I thought it was pretty
nice. I mean, I just want to like piggyback on that because it just reminded me of something. Because I honestly don't like Shia LaBeouf's portrayal of Mutt. I think it's a little, like, you can tell that he thinks he's above that movie, at least personally to me. Which I find then that scene so meta when they're like at the coffee shop or the bar or whatever. I forget that scene, like at the beginning. And then like Indy says like, oh, there were a lot of Mary's kid. And he's like, that's my mother you're talking about. And then Indy just says very calmly, he's like, you don't always have to prove how tough you are. And I feel that's very, very meta about like what, you know, like Steven Spielberg, George Lucas, Harrison Ford versus the whole Shia LaBeouf thing. Because I've read from the behind the scenes things that there was, you know, Shia LaBeouf wasn't happy with the movie and he was trash talking Steven Spielberg and stuff. So I always, now when I see that scene, like it always reminds me of that. It feels, yeah, a little more heightened in that sense. But for me, like the sequence that I really like about Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, that like is, I think is really a lot of fun. It's like after when they travel, is it to Peru that they're going like in that movie? And like they go to the sanatorium and they see all the scratches, yeah. And they're figuring out everything. And Indy's talking in the language of the locals, and then yeah, going to the temple and the blow dart, backwards blow dart, and then Mutt's just like, "You're a teacher, part time." It's like excellent. It's excellent. And then they find the crystal skull, and for me, that whole thing is just yeah. Indiana Jones. It's like you're not grave robbing. You're repossessed. Well, whatever. We're not gonna get into the. Questionable things that Indiana Jones does as an archaeologist, but that sequence for me was like perfect Indiana Jones, action or you know discovery, because he's doing what Indiana Jones should be doing, which is like going out on adventures and using his knowledge to find hidden artifacts. Temple of Doom, I'm gonna be less kind, and I think one of the few things that I really liked about that movie is just we got the quote, we got the fortune and glory, kid, fortune and glory. So. At least that movie gave us that, and that was.
We got that one quote.
And we got that one quote, which we can use forever in perpetuity.
I want to piggyback off of something you said for Kingdom. Another thing I like, it's the Star Wars nerd in me, but the fact that he connects it back to the young Indiana Jones adventures, and he talks about his time with Pancho Villa, and I'm like, all right, cool.
I have not watched the young Indiana Jones adventures or Chronicles. I don't know what, I think they changed the name for
this. Yeah, they changed it. I don't remember which is which.
Nani, did you ever watch the Indiana Jones?
Not actually.
I haven't either.
Also, oh, we have. Well, then I guess we have some homework.
It's on Disney Plus 30. Now, so
yes. Yeah, although I read somewhere, I don't know if it's true or not, that in there was one episode where there's like old Indy, like with the eye patch and everything, and allegedly, from what I saw on a Twitter post, so take this with a grain of salt because it's Twitter, they cut that out and like replaced it with something else. I'm not sure. We'll need to investigate. So we're ending on a positive note. Now let's end on a super positive note with Dial of Destiny. One thing we definitely want to see from that movie, Alex.
Ooh. I'm excited for the artifact because I don't know what it is. The dial itself. I'm excited for a new MacGuffin, whatever it might be. I just want to like you know learn about it along with Indy, what its powers are, what it can do. I'm excited at the prospect for something brand new that I have no idea what it does.
Something new to put on our shelves.
Yeah. Hopefully it looks good.
Nani, what about you? One thing you're definitely looking forward to in Dial of Destiny.
I'm really excited about seeing Mads Mikkelsen as the bad guy. Mm. So I think it's been, because as much as I love Cate Blanchett, I don't think she really stuck the landing.
Really? I really liked her performance, actually.
So. I don't know. I usually really, really liked her. And then at Crystal Skull, I don't like her that much. Huh. I don't know why.
Interesting. So, I thought she was great. Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to Mads Mikkelsen like, being badass. So we'll see. And see how that relationship, him and Indy, and what the hatred there is about or not, if there's history or not.
He's a What's his character like doing like in the present timeline? He's like a scientist for NASA. I would imagine something like that.
I think that's such a good way to get Nazis into this movie, like just to make
historically accurate. Right?
Yeah, to make him a member of Operation Paperclip. I'm like, yes, that's brilliant.
It's gonna be a good movie. Like all you haters online, go in. Yeah, drown in your hate. We're just gonna enjoy it. But yeah, like Dial Destiny, I'm looking forward to just, you know, seeing Harrison Ford and seeing like, you know, all the adventures. And I am looking forward to the globetrotting because it looks like it's going to be even larger in scope in this one than it has been previously, based on what we've seen on the trailers. Really curious to see what Antonio Banderas' role is going to be here, because we haven't seen a lot of it or read too much. So like, I'm not sure like what his role is going to be, or like the extent of his role. Also, Sala, I read that it's not that big of a role, but like looking forward to seeing it. And that gets me every time on the trailer. Every time Sala's just saying like, give him hell, Indiana Jones, I just get a goosebumps, because I'm just like, yeah, I'm rooting for Indy too. So I feel like we're all Sala in this situation. So yeah, Dial of Destiny, June 30th. So we're definitely excited for that. But yeah, with that, I think this has been like an excellent episode, just reminiscing about something other than Star Wars, enjoying Indiana Jones, and like gearing up for the next couple of weeks, because it's kind of mind-blowing that we're on the final countdown at this point of seeing Indiana Jones on the big screen again. Again, thank you, Alex, for joining us. I don't know if you had any last thoughts to kind of close our Indiana Jones discussion with, you know, any nuggets that you want to share with us about Indy.
I'm just excited. And like us talking about it here, I'm like, I kind of want to go watch Last Crusade. I don't think I've watched it in 5 years or so.
What?
Yeah, I mean, Molly and I went to Venice in 2018. And I was like, let's watch it, Last Crusade. And yeah. Molly was like, okay. And I don't think she had seen it since she was young. And she was actually saying, like, I kind of want to watch Last Crusade before we see Indy 5. And I'm like,
it's so good. Like, I was rewatching it the other day with my girlfriend, and like that whole sequence at the beginning when he's at the university and he says, and X never, ever marks the spot. And then when they're in Venice, X marks the spot. And he's like, God, so good. It's so good.
We went to that library. It's actually a church on the inside. It's not a library. I was a little disappointed, but
it doesn't have the X.
No.
Oh, well. Movie magic, I guess. Yeah, but with that, I think we wrapped up this episode. Alex, where can people find you, and what new things can we expect from you and your channel?
Yeah, we're on Star Wars Explained. My wife, Molly, and I talk about Star Wars every single day, although we are going to do an Indiana Jones week in 2 weeks, I guess. So yeah, expect some Indiana Jones content in the lead up to Indy 5 and in the weeks after. We do a weekly Lego stream, and usually it's a Star Wars set, but I got that like Raiders of the Lost Ark diorama.
Oh,
so we're
going
to build that over the next couple weeks.
Awesome. Yeah. That's going to be cool. Well, definitely make sure to check them out. I mean, they're not only are they great content creators, but they're very good friends. So please, please make sure to follow them if you haven't, which you probably have. So just keep watching them because they're amazing. All right.
Well, I think that's it for today. We're very excited, as you can tell, for Indy 5, and we will talk about it once it comes out and see what we think about it. Hopefully, it's going to be fun. I really hope that it's fun. We'll get back to talking about Star Wars now that I actually have the summer off from law school, so we'll be back to that. And until next time, remember to like, subscribe, leave us a comment. We are Triad of the Force, and may the Force